On the line, I have the wonderful Dana Fuchs. How are you, Dana?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great now that I've finally managed to capture you on the WBKN airwaves.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a little while, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've been trying since the Bliss Avenue album came out. And I remember talking to you before the show. We were going to try and make it happen. And then you got busy and you said, you know, come see me after the show. So Andrew and I were hanging out. And what impressed me was you did the show. You came back out and said, hey, Mark and Andrew, come on back. But you remembered our names and we had never met before. So that stuck with me. I thought, here's a busy woman. She's running around touring, and she remembered our names. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think it's, you know, it's a reflection of the vibe you gave out, too. So,
yeah.
Mutual. Thank you.
But then I remember going backstage and you handing me that handwritten CD for the Bliss Avenue record. It wasn't even.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't even out yet.
Wow.
It was still in your purse. It was the only one you had. And he said, here, you could be the first to play this. So I did.
That's funny. And, well, thank you for that. Gosh. Now I feel like we're family.
Pretty close. I mean, how many times have I can't even remember how many times we've been through a show. So.
Oh, my God. You and your beautiful family have been such incredible supporters. It really means a lot.
Serves two purposes. One, the music makes us feel good. And it's always nice seeing you, too.
Thank you.
So, tell us about the new album and where the inspiration came from. And
sure. Well, I recorded it actually a year ago this week in Memphis. And I'll explain why it took a year to come out. But I... you know, it's the first album that I actually got out of New York City to make, and it was exactly the right call for me, the right move. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen once I found out I was carrying a child, and I had just lost my mom, and I really, life was so up in the air then, and my music partner, John Diamond, said, we still need to make an album. We had just finished our contract with Riff Records, and we decided to do this crowdfunding thing that I had always sort of, you know, thought I would never do. So we did this Pledge Music campaign, and it was actually kind of fun because we weren't asking people to just give us money. We were asking them first to pre-order the CD so we could make it, but then also doing Skype concerts. We did Skype songwriting sessions. We wrote a song with this guy. He was in the furthest northern tip of Russia. So it was really a lot of fun just raising the money. And then we had it, and I thought, okay, well, now we have to make an album, and I want to get out of New York to do it. I just felt like I needed a change. And at that point, I had been covering Otis Redding's Nobody's Fault But Mine on shows, which you know. And
I think I saw you do it about 7 times or 8 times, maybe.
Yes. So, and then I had also started covering, after I lost my dad, I started covering Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire, because my dad, as well as I, were big, big Johnny Cash fans. And so I did like a stripped down ballad version of that live. And then I knew I want to put both of these on the album because they were really so well received at live shows. And then I realized, what's the common denominator? Two of my heroes, both from Memphis, you know, both their music was really in Memphis. And I thought, well, that's where I need to go make an album. So we started researching people down in Memphis who were doing recordings. And I listened to this up-and-coming producer's work, Kevin Houston. He'd done some stuff of people we knew, but he's relatively new on the scene, and I was blown away by the sounds he was getting, and we reached out to him. We had a great call, and that was it. We went down to Memphis, made the album top to finish in 11 days, which I've also never done before, and it was a really seamless, wonderful experience. Like, there was just everybody in the studio had just such respect for each other. We were there with legends. The guy, Reverend Charles Hodges on the organ, who did all of the Al Green stuff that I was also a huge fan of. Veteran drummer Steve Potts, also just, you know, we called him the machine. And the horn players, I brought John Diamond, of course, my music partner and songwriting partner, and we also brought the bass player that you've seen with me several times, Jack Daly, who played on my last several albums. Because I wanted a little bit of aggression. You know, I'm not a total laid-back Southern girl. So, and then we brought my pianist, who's also done my last few records, who is a very soulful gospel player, Glenn Pasha. So it was just an amazing, and they were so excited to work with these legends like Charles and Steve. So it was just everybody went in there. Every song we got in one, two takes max. And these guys had never heard the music yet. We would play them the acoustic demo that John and I recorded just days before we went down. We literally wrote the songs up until the moment it was time to record. And we would play them the acoustic demo, and then the drummer, it would always be the drummer, Steve Potts, he would say, okay, let's cut it. And they'd have it in one or two takes. No egos. Everybody worked so hard, long days, late nights, and it was amazing. And then I was like, what am I going to do with this album? I don't have a label right now. So we shopped it around, and Roof Records wanted to pick it up. Our contract was up. We didn't owe him any more records. So, you know, I had a nice conversation with him. I was thrilled he loved the album. And a couple of other labels came to the table also wanting the album. And that's when I realized, you know what? Great, but I've done this way before, and what happens if I start my own label and I give me all the attention? And that's why it took a year. It's a big, big job. But it's been very rewarding to already see the album coming out next week, and it's already gotten so much press and reviews starting, and, you know, just to see the fruits of that kind of labor come to fruition has been, you know, a big reward. It's been incredibly challenging, tons of work, but it's so much better for me than handing it over to someone who's got a ton of other artists to deal with, and things fall through the cracks. And then, you know, every artist inevitably gets this little slap in the face of some disappointing thing that they thought was going to happen that didn't, because everybody's spread too thin. So, you know, this way I was able to start my own label and give this album all the attention that I feel it deserves, because it's like a child to me, all my albums are. So that's the story, and here it is coming out next week, almost a year to the date since it was completed, so kind of wild.
Well, I could tell, being very familiar with your work, as of course I am, as soon as I put it in and listened to probably the first 10 notes, I could tell it was a completely different album from everything else. The production, the horns, I mean, you could really hear the difference with everything. And it shows. It's a really great album.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really nice to actually also, you know, knowing we were going to go record in Memphis, really focused the songwriting. You know, we wrote a lot of different tunes, and then we started going, nah, that's not Memphis. That's not going to go with Memphis. So it really helped us focus, and I haven't really done that on the albums in the past. You know, I call them all like these hodgepodge menage. It's like a mix of all these styles and influences, which has been fun, but this album had a real, I hope, you know, consistent thread underlying both the music and, of course, for me, the message, Love Lives On. You know, that became the name of the album late in the game. I had always, you probably remember, I was going to call it Ready to Rise, after all the family loss and then the birth of a child and all the canceled tours and from family loss year after year. And I thought, you know, Ready to Rise is cool, but after we recorded Love Lives On, that's the song I wrote about being with my mom in her final days and knowing that I would never really get to ask her all these questions about motherhood, because I didn't, you know, this baby was a bit of a surprise. And then Love Living On through her and understanding her even more as a mother. And, you know, I felt like, wow, this is a bigger title. It really embodies the whole album of, you know, we all have loss in our lives. We all struggle in this life. I know you've had a recent loss. You don't mind me saying that. So, you know, I feel like that's been the thing that's brought me and audiences together at every show. And this album, I really had hoped to take all of that sadness and turn it into hope and redemption.
Well, it does show when you perform, because you put your heart on your sleeve when you're performing, and you put it all out there for people to experience everything that you're experiencing when you're on stage. And I think that that's what makes a very unique show and a very good show.
Thank you. Because, I mean, I hope, you know.
You don't hold back, whether it's your emotions or the words you want to say, including including the swear words. You always comment.
I'm better about the cursing now.
Well, because you're a mother now.
Exactly, it really does change it. I'm like, oh my god, these poor mothers that have brought their kids to my shows. I'm so sorry.
Or fathers.
Because
I think, well, Jenna, the first time I saw you was what, 4 years ago. Yeah, Jenna was still old enough. That was okay.
Yeah, I really had to curb it. You know, and I've gotten in trouble in the States. In Europe, they don't care. It's not their first language. So, you know, it's not as offensive. But as I started playing more stuff in the States, I learned the hard way that, you know, people don't want to hear that just because it's second nature to me to swear like a sailor. I really had to curb it out of respect for other people who are there with children or they themselves don't like to hear those words. I realized, okay, you know, in first grade, I had a teacher make me write over and over and over. I think I had to write it 100 times. Profanity is for those who lack the intelligence and imagination to otherwise express themselves. So, and I've never forgotten it clearly, but I still...
Well, you did forget it. You just don't quite use it.
Exactly.
But that's okay,
too. You know, I did read an article in the New York Times that said people who swear in conversation are more trustworthy and sincere.
I guess that could be true because you're not holding anything back. You're just telling it like it is. If you have to think about what you're going to say, then you're probably not going to say what's really on your mind.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. So how did the European tour go? I know you just got back.
It was great. It was really interesting to tour with a toddler who's now running around. And, you know, the last time I did a tour with my son, he wasn't quite a year, or he had just turned a year, that's right, but he still wasn't running around, and he would sleep on the plane, and he would sleep on the bus, and now, nope, he's excited, he's the mayor of every airplane, he has to say hi to everybody, we run up and down the aisles for 8 hours on the international flights, so there was not a stitch
it's
of
hard.
Downtime this tour, but it was also incredibly wonderful to go back to, you know, I've been going to these countries for years now, and I always, when the band would be loading in and sound checking, I would always take some time for myself, pull up my iPhone and find the nearest park to walk around. And I've discovered some really beautiful places. And it was really wonderful to take Aiden to those now and see him run around. Day three of the tour, he jumped into a giant puddle of mud in Germany in one of my favorite parts. And I had 20 minutes before it was time to go sound check. I had to take him for new shoes. It was hysterical.
The challenges of parenthood.
But you know, it's wonderful.
It's the best challenge ever. There isn't anything like parenthood. I don't care what you could do in your life, what comes around, what goes around, but parenthood is by far the best thing you could ever accomplish in your lifetime.
I have to agree. And I didn't know that until I had him, you know?
It's amazing how it changes your life, but for the better.
It's really amazing for the better. And, you know, I remember thinking I would never sleep again. I haven't lost a stitch of sleep. I was lucky I got a sleeper from day one. I knew what mama needed. And I was also worried, how am I going to have the time to do things? And it really, I remember a friend saying, you're going to find that you use your time so much more efficiently and effectively that you almost get more done. And it's so true.
Yeah, it is, because you have somebody more important to think about other than yourself.
Yeah, you prioritize.
Yeah. Because they, especially when they're born, they can't do anything for themselves. So for the first couple of years, they are totally dependent on you.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you were able to balance the both, and you're back on the road and back with a new album. I really do enjoy the new album. I think I've listened to it several times already and probably have played several tracks from it on the air already.
Thank you so much for that. That means a lot to me, Mark. Both that you like it, and of course the support. It really helps us so much stay alive out here, you know.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw you change the name of the album, because I liked the Ready to Rise, but now that you mentioned, I knew why you had changed it, because it's basically the same thing that I'm trying to live my life with, is that love does live on. So I fully understand why you changed it, especially with all that you've been through.
I felt like, yeah, and it really, and also, you know, love lives on. There's this, been so much hate going on in this country, really forever, but, you know, it's really reared its ugly head again, and it's been exposed on another level. And I think, you know, there's a track on the album called Same Sunlight, which is really about that. Come on. We are all living on the same planet, under the same sunlight. We're all just living and breathing the same air, trying to stay alive, trying to be happy. Can we all just get along? That's how the track, you know, that's how the album, the label name came along, Get Along Records. John was saying to me in a meeting when we decided we were starting our own label and we were sitting with the team, what are we going to call it? And John said, what do you say on stage? What's something you say on stage all the time? And I said, can we all just effing get along? And so we called it Get Along Records.
Yeah, I don't think you could add the other part.
Mm-mm.
At least not to a record label anyway.
No. That'd be funny, though.
Probably sell in Europe.
Yeah, probably in Europe. Exactly.
From what I can always see on your Facebook posts, they really love you over there. So
it's wonderful. You know, we've been going there for a while, and you know, it's just, it shows me that, you know, we have to do the same thing, just really hit these markets in the States more. We've played a lot in the Northeast, but this year we'll be getting into the Midwest and the West Coast again. So I'm excited about that as well, to really start building the States more.
So this coming Friday is the actual CD release at FTC?
The CD release? Yes, well, we're doing the CD release sort of party. We're hyping it for Brooklyn Bowl because that's my hometown.
Right.
But Fairfield is, you know, been a room that's been so great to me over the years. So we'll have that, like, as also a little release party as well, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I actually saw it listed both places. I think he said one was the CD release party and the other was the album release party.
The vinyl, yes. But yeah, they're all going to be one and the same now. We're bringing the horns to both. I was just going to have the horns in Brooklyn Bowl, but then I'm like, nope. I'm going to, you know, invest in bringing the horns to all the Northeast U.S. shows. I just did it in Europe. It lifts the show. It makes it so much fun. It really does the tunes justice.
Oh, it really does. And that's, I don't know if you saw my message I sent you, that the horns really add another dimension to it.
They absolutely do, and live even more so. So yeah, I was like, nah, I'm not going to try to perform this album without the horns, unless it's a market we're going to for the first time and it's going to cost us a fortune to bring them. But we'll see. Play that by ear, so to speak.
Literally and figuratively.
Exactly. No pun intended, but good catch.
If it was intended, it's even better. But
yeah, exactly.
So where is the tour leading you? In the U.S., I know you said you're going out west, but where are you going?
Well, we'll do the Northeast in May, and then we'll go back to Europe in June. Then July, we go back to California. California, I don't have it in front of me. I know July, there's a lot of San Francisco, different parts of California and Canada, British Columbia. And then August will be, that might be Massachusetts, Canada, and then October is when we'll hit the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, Seattle. We'll go back to Seattle. We'll go back to maybe California. We've just been booked by a big private party in California and L.A. on October 22nd, so we're going to build a tour around that out there. We want to get to Phoenix, finally. And then Midwest, we're playing July, actually, also the Midwest. We'll play Space in Chicago, and then we'll play Prairie du Chien Festival out there, and then we'll hit the Midwest again. St. Louis, some big rooms in St. Louis, Davenport we'll hit, Cleveland, you know, we'll do all of that in the fall. It's all getting mapped out now, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, but the tour dates will always get posted at my website, danafuchs.com. So.
Now, is Aiden going to come with you on all of it, or are there certain ones that he's not going to come?
You know, I haven't thought that far ahead. I like to bring him out when it's more than a day or two, because it's too hard for me to be without him. But I also have to look at what's best for him. In the States, it's actually a little harder, because then he ends up having to be with a nanny or a sitter at the hotel. In Europe, he stays on U.S. time. So when I'm on stage at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon to him. So it's easy. Someone just watches him backstage. We set up a playpen. It's great. He gets to have dinner with us, but in the States, you know, his bedtime is 7, 7:30. He likes his routine. I don't know if it's fair to drag him to a hotel. So certainly if it's more than a couple days, he'll go.
Right.
But if it's a day or two, I don't want to put him through that.
No, I don't blame you. Just teach him how to play guitar. Put him on stage.
I want him to save the world. I've bigger plans for him.
Much bigger and better, right?
Exactly.
Well, actually, you know what? If the whole world were run by musicians, it would be a much happier place, that's for sure.
Probably. It'd be a little chaotic. But
it would be, but, you know, music makes... I haven't known one person where music doesn't make them feel better.
I agree.
So if you fill the world with music, I think it would be a much better place.
Amen.
So here we go. Aiden for musician and president.
There we go. I love it. President and rock star. That works.
Did you ever... It's funny. It's a rock star for president. Did you ever see the movie Idiocracy?
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies
isn't it ahead of its time? Isn't it so far ahead of its time? It's so telling about what the future... where the future is headed in the dumbing of society.
It's amazing. Like anybody with a large vocabulary is offensive, and it's just...
Yeah, watering the plants with Gatorade or whatever.
Gatorade, yeah.
No, you're supposed to use water. You mean like out of the toilet? Ew.
Yeah, I love that movie. I mean, and that one came out even before we had Sarah Palin. It was right around that time. So it's remarkable how accurate it's been. Scary.
Yes, very scary. And now they're actually having, a lot of people are getting the barcode tattoos like they had in that movie, which I don't understand.
God.
And well, they have Soundwave tattoos now, which are really actually kind of cool. But the barcodes, I can't understand.
I can't either. It's bizarre to me, but...
So, now that you have this last album under your belt, are you still writing music? And you should be ready for another one at this point, since that one took a year.
You know, I just write words when they come to me, and then... But I haven't sat and focused to write a new album, because when you give birth to an album like this and you only just start playing the songs live, because, you know, the fact that this
took
so
long,
a while
yeah.
to release, we... introduce the songs little by little live, because you don't want to just hit people with a bunch of songs they've never heard before. But I mean, we do have, you know, some tunes that were written, you know, for in this period and even period a couple of years ago that we just thought, no, they're not for Memphis. So I don't know. It depends on which direction we go. Some of them I feel strongly about as songs, and it just depends on which direction we go with the album and production wise next time, if they'll make it or not, if we'll have to write all new stuff or if we'll pull some out of the vault.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Gosh, I think we've almost covered everything. You know, just, I want to get it out there. You know, sometimes people write me and say they're frustrated that I seem to always run away to Europe. It's just, it's really hard to get clubs to hire you and book you in markets that you really don't have a foothold in yet. So you got to break the ice, you know, and we're going to try to do that this year. So I hope people will, you know, understand that it's not that I don't want to play their city or state. I'd love to play more and more and more U.S. So we're working on that now with this album, hopefully, you know, hiring the right publicist, the right radio folks. We'll get the word out a little better than we have in the past, and that'll help me get into some of these new areas in the States.
Yeah, I'd like to say I help, but you already have a strong foothold in this area, so, but I'm still glad to finally get you on the air after
four years. Gosh, I know.
And I think 4 years and how many, what, I think it's been 20 shows.
Wow, thank you.
I still remember the Highline Ballroom show.
Wow.
That one was a big one. The we actually had so many people going that way. I rented a 7-passenger van for that one.
Wow.
Because we had Jenna, her fiance. We had Andrew. We had myself, Susan. We had...
Thank you for that. That's so awesome.
Well, because I remember you said you wanted some young people there because they were filming it.
Yes.
So you wanted to show that you had a, you know, a wide audience, which you do because, you know, kids love Across the Universe.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can tap that fan base to get them to come out. I mean, you know, you're competing. Someone asked me in an interview not long ago, who do you think is your biggest competition? And I said, Netflix. You know, nobody, it's so hard to go out. I mean, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm like, I should really go check out that new artist. Or, oh man, Lucinda's in town. I've seen her, but I should go check her out. And then I'm like, I feel like putting my feet up and binge watching Netflix. So I've got to get better about it. But that is our biggest competition, especially with a younger audience. There's so much other stuff. So I'd like to get them to come out. And, you know, certainly for Brooklyn Bowl, because we're filming that one, and it, because it's a room where everybody stands up. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a cool place to see a show. I was at one of your shows there before.
That's right. Yeah, this is the second time I played, and you were there at my first show there. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Since I mentioned Across the Universe, there might not be fans out there that are listening now that know about Across the Universe and what that was and what your role is in the movie.
Yeah, Across the Universe. Wow, I mean, that movie came out 2007 or 8, I guess. It's been a while, but it's had a longer life than we ever thought on cable, on DVD, and people are still just discovering it. And it was such a fun role. Of course, I was playing a character, Sadie, loosely based on Janis Joplin. So I got to sing, you know, some great songs like Helter Skelter. And I just think that movie was very powerful. It really had a, you know, having such a point to it about what was going on in this country, in the world in general. I mean, the sexual revolution, the musical revolution, civil rights movement, it covered a lot of ground. And it's kind of timeless now because we're still facing a lot of this stuff.
We are, and the music is timeless too because it's Beatles music. It's Beatles music, and that never goes away.
Beatles music never goes away. I mean, I'm singing the Beatles songs to my baby boy all the time. Instead of wheels on the bus go round and round, he loves to drive this little wheel that's on the playground. And I just keep reinforcing, baby, you can drive my car.
How did I know that was going to be the one? Well, I used to sing Golden Slumbers to my kids, so.
Oh, wonderful.
And
yeah,
I think they just wanted to go to sleep so they didn't have to hear me sing. So it worked either way.
That's so great. The universe, you know, and I love that parents and kids watch it together now. So watch the film with your parents or your kids and come on out and know that the character Sadie is a real live touring musician. People don't know that. It always amazes me.
Well, that brings me to my next point. And I know we've discussed this in the past, but I would love to do a music on film series and have you come down and do a little acoustic set either before or after the showing of the movie so people do know.
I love that.
That and do it as a fundraiser for the radio station and maybe some sort of children's charity. And
I love that.
I think that would be a great evening and a lot of fun.
Let's really make that happen. That's such a good idea. That's a really smart idea, and I know we talked about that, so let's finally make it happen.
Well, it took us 4 years to make this happen, so let's not let it take another 4 years for that. How's that?
Okay, deal. Oh, but thank you for this, Mark. I know probably Patty's going to be calling my publicist in a minute because I'm supposed to do a 2:30 call.
Well, I really appreciate this, Dana. Thank you so much.
And thank you so very much. And thanks for the patience of waiting for me. I think if it took us 4 years to do it, this was the time to do it for this album. And
yeah, especially since the experiences that we've both had over the past year or so,
exactly.
If not more. It's been a tumultuous time. But
exactly. Well, your daughter's up there. She'll be partying with us and all our angels on Friday, no doubt.
Yes, she will. Thank you so much, Dana. It was great
My
to talk
pleasure,
with you,
Mark.
Too. Aside from doing the interview, it was great to talk with you anyway. So.
Same here. I look forward to giving you a giant hug next Friday.
I still show people the picture all the time where you put your hair over my head.
That was funny. I love that.
People love that picture. It's great.
That was a riot. Well, yeah, I look forward to giving you another big hug and thanking you in person for all the friendship and support.
Oh, you're very welcome. Jenna National will be there, too, and Susan will be there. So.
Awesome.
So
can't wait to see them.
We'll see you then. Thanks, Dana.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.